You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on The Cooligans, we are talking about Messi and more drama with Barcelona. Messi's Instagram is usually pretty dull, but not this time. It's quite entertaining. We're talking about trades going on in MLS and a little bit of drama on the international stage when it comes to Major League Soccer.
That's right. Plus, we talked to Emilio Lopez of so many different things, the FootMex Nation, the Mexican soccer show. She's absolutely incredible. Plus, we talked to her and we get to meet Ali. That Ooh. And more today on The Cooligans!
Yo, it's me, Dave Vianich here, and I've been hanging out with the Cooligans, having a nice, and I hope you've been having a nice too.
Yeah, baby!
Okay, get ready. It's a lovely Thursday. Let's,
You keep adjusting your tie when you're not wearing a tie.
You know, we've already experienced the first presidential debate. I'm sure we're taping before that happened, but I'm sure it went well.
And so is there still a world where this show is happening?
I'm sure the country's going in a lovely direction now, and everybody is unified in progress.
We're all on the same page, finally. It's all it took.
Okay, everybody, welcome to The Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right, we are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that you have ever seen, ever.
Yep, and it's not just that. It also happens to be the gulliest that you've ever seen, ever.
Okay, forever, ever. So we're excited about today's show because we're going to be joined later on by Emilio Lopez of FootMex Nation, of the Mexican soccer show. And we're going to be discussing a lot of things in Liga MX, Liga MX Femenil, and Mexican soccer overall. So stay tuned for that. But we have to get started today with, out of La Liga, out of the Prem, like people are talking spicy. Okay, when it comes to Lionel Messi, some people don't respect him. Some people respect him too much. Some people are too mean to him. But overall, I think we know that he is someone that deserves to be acknowledged as one of the greatest people players that has ever played the game, right?
Here's the thing. It's like, if you're going to take a contrarian approach, the only thing you could say about him is that he's great, but not that great. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only thing you can say.
Yeah, yeah. He is a god.
What country would dare think of themselves as so powerful in this sport, regardless of having not won the World Cup in over 50 years? Who would possibly say that they're amazing league would be too good for Lionel Messi?
So we all knew that Messi, he wants to leave. He wanted to leave from Barcelona, and that the most logical move was him to go to Manchester City, and it seemed like it was a very strong possibility. He didn't want to go through any legal hurdles and any of that stuff, so he was like, you know what, I'll stay for another year and whatever. But Messi, he clearly does not give AF anymore. He's just doing, he's punching in, punching out, whatever. But there's still, so I want to start first with the criticism. This wasn't on BN Sports. It was on BN Connect. And it was, all I know is that it was Nigel De Jong he was like the mediator. You know what I mean? Yeah. He was like the middle dude. And then two other dudes were just talking about, two British dudes were like, Messi, he's 34. He'll never make it in the Premier League. He's too old. He hasn't, when it comes to the greatest players in the world, it's Cristiano Ronaldo. He's done it in multiple leagues. And in the level of disrespect, as if Messi has not humiliated Premier League clubs regularly in Champions League, is really quite absurd.
There's countless videos of Lionel Messi dunking on every one of your favorite
this
players.
This small man dunking, Spud Webb, Nate Robinson-style dunking on everybody.
Bro, he dunking so much, there's people from Boston waiting in line for a coffee. I don't even know.
I heard there's a good one here, all right?
Yeah. Did someone say dunking? D-D's? I'll get a coffee. I forget how their accent is. You know, have it. I don't know what else to do. But what I'm trying to say is, bruh, his career is littered with oops from your from countrymen and players from your country, and you got the balls to say at 34, you should be honored if at 38 he decides to play in the Premier League. Correct, honored.
All right. And yes, but don't take him at 38 because Major League Soccer will take him at 38. We want him so
2 years after that. I could care less if he's in knee braces and roller skates to get around out there. I don't care.
Oh man,
bring him on.
Quite the sight. I also want to point out the gulliness of Lionel Messi. He is a new man, right? He's on his last year. He's like, I ain't coming back. It's his senior year of high school. He's like, I ain't gonna see any of y'all anymore. So I'm just
y'all trash. I've been waiting to say this.
So I want to point out, because obviously Luis Suarez has moved to Atletico Madrid, and
after cheating on his Italian,
he got caught. And they were like, all right, I'll stay in Spain.
Pick a new school.
I'm not even here. I already got suspended.
Damn, how you get expelled before you get into school? Which I want everyone to know happened to me. But anyway,
we don't have enough time for that. But I want to point out the Instagram post about Luis Suarez leaving. Luis Suarez, obviously, Barcelona, they did the whole thing. They took a couple of photos. They
stand here with the trophies you want us. You don't get to keep any of them.
He went to his locker, and they were like, all right, peace, get out of here. Okay?
While he was taking the photos, everything was put in a box. And he's like, let me just go to the locker. I'm like, nah, fam, it's already in the Uber. Get out of here.
but I loved the Instagram post about Luis Suarez's departure from Lionel Messi. And this is what he posted. It's obviously translated. He goes, you deserve to depart like what you are, one of the most important players in the club's history, winning things as part of a group and individually. Not for them to kick you out as they have done, but the truth is, nothing surprises me anymore. This is public. This is right on Instagram.
This is Nashville hot chicken level spicy. This is the last chicken wing on hot ones level spicy. And also, it's not even as spicy in English as it is in Spanish. There is something so much more emotionally raw and distraught. Just like, you know what? I'm putting it all out there. In Spanish, bro, it is painful to read.
He's like,
bro,
I don't care what the HR department at Barcelona has to say. I don't care if I get fined. This is how I feel. I'm not putting this in the suggestion box.
Nah.
This is going right.
I'm gonna print
feet.
This out, and I'm putting it all over the walls.
Wasn't even on the IG story where it would disappear after.
It's still there. It's still there. Also, like, this is like a marriage where the husband says no to the divorce, so the wife's like, okay, wait till we get into a family party in front of your family. I'm gonna be speaking the truth. Oh, did someone eat all the potatoes? Like, my husband ate this other girl. You know what I mean? It's like just everything goes
mic,
back to it.
Grabbing the mic at the baptism. Oh, I want to let you know. You think I don't know how this child is gonna go to heaven with a father like him? You know?
Did
what
you
mean?
See the woman at the funeral? I think it was in Africa, where she's like, I want you to know, this man brought another woman to the house, and someone's like throwing shoes at her. She's ducking.
Sister. It was the sister of the dude.
That's like, Messi right now. He saw that video, and he's like, I have been inspired.
Okay. I'm going to lay it all out there. I don't care if I have to go back to work and work with these people.
You can throw as many shoes at me as you want, bro.
What you can do? What you can do? Kick me out? Yeah, I dare you.
Because I got a one-way ticket to Manchester. Say something. Say something. Christian, I don't know if you saw this, but it turns out that MLS is not allowing the international players to go back home for international duty. I don't know what could possibly be wanting them to stop their players from flying and going to different countries during this time. I wonder what it is.
Clearly, they just want to rule over their players and then not let them have the freedom of movement that they are entitled to. No, obviously, the concerns of COVID-19 are... Well, some people are kind of upset about this. Obviously, the federations of these countries are like, hey, we would it'd be nice if you could send us some of our players because we have important matches coming up. And
here's what I say. I'm for it as long as it's countries that America has to play. Then, keep their players here so that they can play. It's a great advantage. You know what I mean?
Okay, yes. This is all Greg Berhalter is creating these rules for MLS. No, I think there's a – look, I mean, it gets to a point where is it fair? Is it safe? Is it – you know, like – is it feeling, does it feel too political? It's hard to really kind of make sense of it all in a way that would make everyone happy. I don't really get the, to be honest, this is how I genuinely feel. I don't know why they would want their players because of how poorly this country has handled this crisis.
Exactly. So, like, if you play for Miami, you're like, or Orlando, you're like, you can keep them. If you play for Houston or FC Dallas, you're like, please don't hey. Send them. Don't even send their clothing. You know?
Yeah, that part of it is a bit concerning. So I don't know. It's the next most likely 12 months when it comes to international tournament are going to be really strange, right? We just spoke about it last week, what the English national team going to Iceland and the risk there as well, where the players they're like, you know, they don't stay quarantined and they want to go hang out with people and stuff like that. So we have to be so incredibly careful until it's gone, right? So I don't know. It's a tough position to be in. You can understand why both sides have some sort of a reason why you would want the players, why you shouldn't send the players, and things like that. So
I would say that, and I understand that, but there's some like insurance, you know, for the players, and there's some qualifications that need to be met. They can't just go willy nilly anywhere they want, right? Because the league is beholden to your health. At the same time, if the other countries would be okay with keeping up the standards of whatever the club has to do, then I don't see a reason why you wouldn't. Again, if it's a team that we need to be competitive against, go ahead and keep them here. You know what I mean?
I guess it's weird to me that it's the decision lies on MLS, you know, like, and not.
No, because that happens all the time where clubs don't allow the players.
Clubs.
Yeah,
clubs.
But this is where single entity.
I'm just saying that just this is where in the scenario where like, man, every club shouldn't really be stuck to these same guidelines to some degree, right? Like I'm not going to say like, oh, if one state handles it better than the other or whatever, like, I don't want to get into that conversation, but in this situation, there's no wiggle room because the league is like, no, we're not sending anybody, and not right. One individual club they can't even make some sort of case to allow the player to go, but it is what it is. It really sucks overall.
I do see an argument on both sides though.
So let's talk about a couple other things in MLS. The kind of big news, we just mentioned Miami, but Inter Miami just traded away their center back that they had picked up in the expansion draft, Roman Torres, from the Seattle Sounders. They sent him back to the Sounders.
Yeah, so he's out. He's like, please. Please get me off the sinking ship.
I just need more cloudiness and rain. I can't. All this sun is uncomfortable.
The problem is in Miami, the rain comes real quick and goes away real quick. And he's like, I like when it lingers here for weeks.
Okay, I really love when the cloud of depression follows me. You know, I can't have it just come and go here and there.
The only way anyone throws a fish around here is if an abuela's mad at me. That's the only way.
This is a bit of a surprise because I felt like.
Is it? It isn't to me. It seems like
it's surprising that he went back to the Sounders. Not that it isn't. he was traded.
I don't think it's that it's surprising because it just seems to me like the one thing that's like true of MLS, it's like some of these players just get really baked into like the club and the community. It's like they really become like this, like a staple there. And you've seen it in the past with like, I remember even when Houston traded Ching away, like he did everything in his power, even held out to get back to Houston. And it's like, you don't see this in other leagues, and maybe it's because they get paid just so much more money when they move to a new club. Maybe that's the thing, but it just seems like, especially in MLS, something happens where if you're at a club for like 4 or 5 years and you're beloved there, you don't want to leave. You just want to stay there, and you like, you know, you just want to be a part of that community, which I guess is dope. And from every Sounders fan that follows us that we also follow, they seem to be really excited about Roman Torres coming back.
Yeah, but he also – they didn't protect him in the expansion draft, so he clearly was not a priority. And to be honest, he's – the last, like, 2 years, he has a piling resume of mistakes or errors or getting absolutely burned by just speedy wingers. I feel like the way the Sounders, nobody's going to ruin, you know, how the Sounders are playing right now. They're absolutely stellar. But do they need Roman Torres? I don't know what the depth is. He's definitely a depth guy, right?
100% backup. He's not starting.
I'm curious as to why it didn't really work out in Miami. But I'm going to have to say it's probably he's just lost a step, with all due respect to the future president of Panama.
Yeah, our Panamanian listeners are furious with you. Okay. Guess who's not allowed at the canal anymore? Christian Polanco.
Man, that's where I summer.
Yeah. He had the ticket. He had the flights already booked. But just like the players, he's not allowed to go now. But if you look at Roman Torres, like if you're Miami, you got yourself an aging center back, which in the way the league is right now, you can't have a slow aging center back. So they got a chance to get value for someone that they may have not needed anymore. So it's great. Great math if you're Miami, great math if you're Seattle, because you get back a legend. So
yeah, look, he's not going to hurt the team, like I said. But
in a playoff run, having a guy like that who's won MLS Cup is a big deal.
Okay. My skepticism is it's out on the table. Everybody knows how I feel. I hope he does well. Nobody wishes more of great things for Roman Torres than me. I mean, he was the first player that that I think I spoke to on the mix zone in Toronto when right. Seattle won the MLS Cup. He won the MLS Cup on that penalty. I get it. But he's a little slow. That's all I'm saying. And make sure to stick around. We have Emilio Lopez coming up after this segment. So right now, I want to do another Cooligans unboxing.
Ooh.
Okay. I mean, there's no box.
Hit it with the NPR voice.
it's too difficult to do remotely and all this other stuff. But we got to give a shout out and a huge thank you to the Union Zoom Happy Hour. So this is obviously the Philadelphia Union fans, Sons of Ben. They do a Zoom call that we got invited to, yep. And we were both on, and it was great talking to a bunch of Union supporters, friends, their family at this point, right?
I mean,
I'm wearing Union, the fish down.
Yeah, Union is like at this point, it's our second home, second, third home, third, fourth home, something like
that. We got
like
an illustrious gift from Mike Thomas, who's in Gully Squad as well, who you've heard the name on this show. He asked awesome, awesome questions.
Incredible questions.
To our guests, you know, and that's another luxury of being in Gully Squad. So if you want to join Gully Squad, feel free to do that at soccercooligans.com. So he sent a letter and he sent these kits.
Look at this.
Huh? Boom.
Completely covering my face, but you could see it, right? Look at that. Wow, Zoom. Mine's a little bigger than Christian's. There, it says Happy Hour Philadelphia on it, Zoom Brewing. On the back, I got a number 59, and it's cool. It's like beer inside the numbers, which is kind of dope.
Yeah,
and
I got the number 45 to support our great, great president.
Oh, no.
So the numbers are an interesting thing. Just to address, he goes, the jersey numbers correspond with phone numbers. So I guess like in T9, this is my best guess. It says the four is a G, the five is a L. L, you have a five as well, and the nine is a Y. So it's a 4-5 and 5-9, GLLY, Gully.
Oh,
okay. So a little hidden meeting in there. And so he wrote a letter as well. He goes, Christian and Alexis, since you guys joined the Union Zoom Happy Hour a few times, I wanted to make sure you got the jerseys that the organizer Jared put together. With the proceeds, we were able to raise over $800 for the Philly Bail Bond Fund during the Black Lives Matter protest. So this is amazing. Look at this.
That's so dope.
So, and it says, also, thank you guys for continuing to consistently pump out some of the best soccer content out there. The show is incredible, and I wish you two nothing but continued success.
That's really
Mike,
dope.
Thank you so much, man. This means the world. Definitely, man. We appreciate Union fans, Union supporters, Zoom Happy Hour. And they've had great people. I know.
Yeah, there were players on and stuff when I was on.
Bedoya, yeah, Jim Curran's been on there. So the level of if you are in Philadelphia or have friends who are, you know, maybe don't follow soccer that much, be a part of Union Zoom Happy Hour. You know, that Philly community is like, we always say, it's like it is Philly fans which are a different breed of sports fans.
A whole nother animal.
But they do it with soccer. You know, that's what I like about Union fans, that it's like, because soccer is such a great community, and it's like, it really requires doing things together and a lot of unity. It's like, it calms down the rage of a typical Philly sports fan. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
they
like
share batteries with each other versus throwing them at opposing fans. It's very different.
You know what? Here, take my battery back. Charge your phone. I ain't going to throw it at you.
In fact, I'm going to chuck it, but just so you can charge your phone. Right?
Okay, I'm going to toss it at a reasonable pace and speed. All right?
I'm going to go underhand.
Okay? And if you drop it, trust me, I will go up there and pick it up and hand it right to you. So, again, thank you, Union Zoom. Happy hour. Thank you to Sons of Ben. All the support from Philadelphia Union. They got continued success in the MLS season. So, all right, everybody. We have more to look forward to. We have a great guest coming up, Emilio Lopez. So come right back after this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to break it with a word for one of our sponsors, us. And us, technically you.
The Cooligans have now gotten into the mask game. Okay,
right. Everybody? We are... Big mask. That's the business we're in, baby.
Look, if you want to get, obviously, everybody, you need a mask. Wear a damn mask if you want to get over this dumb pandemic that is ruining all our lives.
Right.
But so we decided, you know what? Let's make one. And I think it'll be kind of cool if it has the Cooligans logo on it. It also says stay safe and stay gully right on it. You'll be the freshest, gulliest mask wearer in the world.
Everybody at that Wegmans or wherever you go in as they're dragging some maskless Karen out and you walk past them wearing this will be like, whoa.
Yeah, you're just like, with your Cooligans mask, you're just gonna be like, couldn't be me.
Okay. Nah, fam, I'm staying gully and safe. And here's the best part. 100% of the proceeds is going to go to charity. We are doing a collaboration with South Bronx United. They help the community in the South Bronx. They have a soccer academy. They do educational classes. They had a journalism class that Christian and I spoke at, and they were like, who are these two? They're not journalists. We know more than them. And I'm like, these kids say the darndest things. And also, they help out the community where they hand out masks. They do a lot of legal help for a community that could use all of those things. And we absolutely love all those things. We grew up in similar communities, so we wanted to give back. So 100% of the proceeds of this mask goes to that. And in fact, Upper 90, who is teamed up with us and is making the mask, actually gave us an even better deal so we could give even more to charity. So exactly. This would mean a lot to us if you would purchase this. Even if you didn't need an extra mask, it's worth having one, especially one that's as gully as this.
Exactly. So, you know, if you don't need one, give it to your child. Okay?
That's right.
They could use a nice gully mask while they're
put one on your
learning.
Puppy.
Okay? So pick one up. You can get them at soccercooligans.com. They are from Upper 90. They're a high quality mask. They you can wear them for a long time. They're really comfortable. Highly recommend it. Even if you don't need one, all the proceeds do go to charity. So you'll be supporting a very good cause in South Bronx United. You can see the description. The link will be in the description of this podcast episode. Or you can just go right to soccercooligans.com and the link will be there as well. So pick up a mask today.
All right, baby, we're back on a Cooligans Living Room FC, and our guest is here. And Christian, I am excited about this.
Very much so, yeah.
What was
too.
It? I think it was MLS Cup last year, right? Was it MLS
Cup?
No,
this was the LA Galaxy LAFC playoff game.
Okay, LA, that's right.
That's
when
where we
almost got arrested, right? Because I used the bathroom, which if you haven't heard that story, go back and listen to it.
Not
but
allowed.
Moments before that.
Not allowed in LAFC stadium. You know, it is.
Moments before that, though. We were upstairs in the media room where we're allowed to be, security. And I'm dressed in like, you know, tracksuit. Christian's dressed in whatever it is you wore that day. And all of a sudden, someone we only know from Twitter pulls up. And she was like, yo, I love you guys. You're amazing. I don't remember the exact conversation, but I'm assuming that's what was said, right?
that's all Alexis hears when he meets any human being.
And they're like, sir, could you move? And I'm like, I don't sign autographs right now. No, but one of the reasons I was so excited to meet her is because there's like a list of people that we just absolutely appreciate as comedians, people who have absolutely discovered their voice and they know exactly who they are and they could care less about anything else. This is who they are. And Amelia is one of those people. We just like, every time she posts something, it's like, damn, yo, she's amazing, right? Like the point of view is awesome. She's repping for women's soccer all over Latin America, which is a difficult thing to do. So I'm really happy that she's doing it. And it's just one of the few people that we're just, I guess, inspired by based on everything she's doing. So we're so happy to have her on. You may know her as, wow, the social writer and editor of FootMex Nation, our football podcast, producer of the Mexican Soccer Show, and now on the Cooligans, and also a mom. So you may be seeing toys flying around in the background. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're her son who's supposed to be quiet and you're driving, put your hands together, make a lot of noise for the one, the only, Emilia Lopez.
Emilio, what is up?
Hi guys, it's really funny because I was actually serendipitously listening to Grant Wall's podcast where you guys were on it. And Alexis said something like, it's very interesting to like be on a show or a podcast now from people that you like have just seen, you know. I mean, I know I ran to you guys at the LAFC LA Galaxy game, but it's very cool to finally be on the show that I've listened to, that I've watched. So thank you guys so much for having me.
We're honored to have you on.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, so look, I mean, I can't remember exactly when we started following you and really seeing your work, but the last couple of years, it's been really cool to see a couple of things. I feel like through you, I get to learn so much more about Liga MX Femenil, right? If people are not aware of the league, it hasn't been around too long, but women's soccer has been really either striving and struggling to especially with this pandemic and trying to figure things out. But your coverage of the league really helps me understand it a lot more. And so what's it been like the last couple of years really delving into it a lot more than in the past?
I mean, it's only been around for like 3 years. The official announcement came in like December of 2016. Enrique Bonilla, which is the Liga MX CEO, said that now they wanted to kind of develop, you know, they kind of wanted to grow and help develop the national team and also kind of create an infrastructure for women's football in Mexico. I mean, in some ways, it was also kind of like something they needed to do because of that 2026 World Cup bid. You know, they had to show like, oh, by the way, we have Mexican women's soccer too.
Yeah, yeah.
So I actually didn't follow it until the 2017 season. The 2018 season. So there was like a little Copa Mequis tournament after they announced it. Then there was a Clausura, Apertura 2017. And that's the first one, Chivas one, that I didn't really see. But kind of when I came back from the World Cup in 2018, my good friend and boss, Weasel Vasquez, who founded FootMex Nation, was like, you know what? You need to be part of this. You know, you're seeing the necessity. There it is.
Big fan.
You're seeing the necessity that we have for Mexican soccer in English. There's hardly anybody covering women's Mexican soccer in English. Like, you need to step in and do that. And I'm not going to lie, I was a little worried at first, kind of being like typecasted, you know, okay, here's another woman, you know, following women's soccer. But I dove into it, and I've been watching it for, you know, now these last like 3 years, and it's so fun. It's so fun to just like actually see these players. And in a sense, accidentally, it's super cool to know that like I'm at the beginning of it, right? So however long it continues, however long it flourishes, I'll be able to be like, oh, I was part of the very beginnings of it. I saw these players when they were at their infancy. So it's been a lot of fun to just see it grow organically, and then just slowly the rules and the regulations kind of being more inclusive to see where it can go in the next 3 years and beyond.
Looking at the way you cover soccer, right? And one of the things that I think is so impressive is that I don't even want to use the term like no holds barred, but you have a very, no, this is what it is. Like, I'm not going to do the talking points. I'm not going to gloss over some of this stuff. If it's bad, it's bad. If it's good, it's good. If, let's be honest, let's say what's happening. Let's not cover things up. How difficult was that to take that? One, you know, the Mexican League tries its hardest to suppress a lot of the bad news, right? And two, when it comes to the women's game, sometimes, especially we feel, it's like, let's just focus on the positive because we want to build. And you're like, nah, yo, let's look at the scars too. Like, was that a conscious decision by you, or is that just who you are?
Both. And it's so funny because I kind of just, like I said, I just have your guys's pod with Grant in my head. You guys said something specific about like, nobody else is saying these things or nobody else is doing it this way, so we're gonna do it. We're gonna say what somebody like me who wants to digest this information, which is Liga MX Femenil in English, So what are we going to say? Well, not everything is perfect. And obviously, just like we're seeing now in just like everyday life, you know, socially, culturally, you have to be willing to spread awareness to the not so positive things, to the not so pretty picture things of the growth, because there are a lot of people, especially in Liga MX Femenil, who are like, just be happy that they're broadcasting it, or just be happy that they're doing this and that. And it's like, true, I am so happy that there's a league, first of all, you know, there wasn't one up until 3 years ago. But there's so much more that can be done, especially when you kind of have that footprint for the Liga MX Femenil, because it's very specific in that it's, at least for North America, because I know the NWSL is kind of like its own franchise, right? But the Liga MX Femenil is built off of the men's side. It's built off of, you know, Liga MX in general as an organization. So it has like that, okay, you guys are doing this, or you guys are not worrying about these kind of talking points with the men's side. So why are you giving this the time of day for the women's side? And it's something that we're constantly, I mean, these are universal issues, right? With women's soccer overall. But it's just one of those things that I was like, no, we need to, if we're going to have it grow, let's let it grow in the right direction. So let's put a spotlight on those bad things that happen sometimes, which is from everything from, you know, lack of proper training facilities, the pay more than anything else. And then as a journalist, you also are kind of calling out those reporters that focus on the wrong things, or you're calling out those publications that do the wrong things when it comes to the athletes, because it's more often than not, especially with female athletes, they don't focus on the sport. They focus on everything besides that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And look, and we focus a lot on NWSL, but there are so many strides that NWSL has made that we don't, that Liga MX Femenil is like hitting now, right? Like whether it's pay, whether it's terrible conditions in locker room or amenities and those options. So those things need to be pointed out as well, so that Liga MX Femenil is not dealing with it maybe for as long as NWSL players are as well. So it's good that we have someone pointing those things out, because again, there aren't too many people talking about it. And then on top of that, in English as well. So thank you for what you do. So Amelia, I'm a huge fan of your writing. You are someone who does something really courageous when it comes to speaking about your life and working in this in the soccer industry. But I was trying to look for it before we started taping, but this was, I must have read this about a year ago, I think. You had written a blog post that was really powerful about your life and your you are a young mom and got through school and working in soccer. And I read it. I'm like, this woman is an absolute badass human being. I mean, the amount of challenges that you've gone through and to be able to find stability and success is incredibly impressive. So I'm curious about just, maybe we can get into a bit more detail of, you know, for people who have not read this piece that you wrote, but what were the biggest challenges of like, working in soccer and being a mom and doing this without, you know, as much support as you would have appreciated.
Wow, do we have like 3 hours?
As a matter of fact, we do.
Yeah, we do now.
So I got for those of you who don't know, and I'm pretty open about it. So I got pregnant in between my sophomore and junior year of college. Perfect timing, Jack. That's what I call him. He's like perfect timing. He was actually born like right in July. So I started school at USC, ended in like May-ish, and then would start up again in like August. So he was born exactly 1 month before I went back to school my junior year. So like, I just like hung out with him for a month, and then I was like, okay, I have to go now. back then I had a third child too. So he was also there kind of helping.
Okay. Yeah.
So he would stay with him. But there was just like a point where, even after it was just the three of us, I was like, I can't not do this. Like I felt like, you know, and it's kind of tacky. I hate saying it, but it's the truth. It's like when you have a child or when you have somebody, you're a guardian, a caretaker, whatever, you kind of go, okay, I have to like show something to this person now that has to look up to me or that has to hang out with me all the time, you know, because they're going to be exposed to my not so positive parts of me. But like, let me give them some sort of good positive aspects about me. So I was just like, okay, I have to you know, like they say in Spanish, me tengo que poner las pilas. You know, I just have to do something. And so I was like, okay, what am I not doing? What was I not doing the first 2 years of college? Okay, I want to write, let me just start writing about soccer in some capacity. You know, and that was actually, I don't know if that's the blog that you wrote, but I started blogging about Mexican soccer and it kind of just flourished, ended up being at an internship at the Mexican Soccer Show. And there were, like you just said, there were a lot of times where like, I like nobody could help. And it's, I don't try to say that like to negatively put them in like a negative light or anything. It's just like people have their lives right now, you know, like I was telling you guys. Jack's luckily in ABA therapy right now, so he's kind of occupied, but I have Ollie like within vicinity of this this call, and so you kind of just had to roll with the punches. Like you have to swim. And so that's basically how I've done it at different points of my career, or you know, what have you. My first actual like mix zone for Mexican soccer. So they were playing here in LA. I think it was against Ecuador, my senior year of college. And I was actually pregnant with Ollie at the time. I emailed like the people, I emailed like the Federation people. And so they gave me a press pass to the mix zone, but I was too late for the match. You know how it goes. So I was there and I was like, well, what am I going to do? Like I'm pregnant. So I'm just going to go. So I actually went. My very first thing, every first thing has involved them in some capacity, you know? So Ollie was hanging out with me in my belly when I interviewed, or when I was talking around like Guardado and Chicharito for the first time. My very first, coverage of a game was the Copa America Centenario, Mexico versus Uruguay in Phoenix. And I took them with me. Like, I was just like, we'll just go. And, you know, I did have help at that time, so they were like on the cusp, but I still remember I had like the pump that WIC gives you. It's like a subsidiary program.
Yeah.
So I had the pump with me in the mix zones, because I was like, I don't know when and how, but I'm gonna have to pump. I just remember going through security, or like, you know, going through like the people to get your credential and stuff, and they're like, what is that? And I'm like, it's a pump.
It's like really old radio equipment, so don't worry about it.
It was like one of those, and it's hilarious because it was one of those like so manual pumps, and you had to like stick it on a machine so that the machine could actually do the pumping for you. So it wasn't even like one of those cool, like, you know, new agey ones that moms had. Yeah. Like, no, it was like those Superman, and it was like
needed a crank.
Is that, what is that lady doing over there?
That is amazing. Pump in one hand, Mike interviewing Jonah Dos Santos in the other. You know,
yeah, you're like one of the pump leaks, so stand a little to the left. Anyway, so what were you saying?
It ain't my fault, okay?
You get shoes for free, bro. Stop complaining.
It's super nutritious. It'll help you.
Yeah, it's got a lot of nutrients, and I've been drinking a lot of water. It reminds me so much of growing up. My mother was a single mother, and at one point she was she worked in a hospital at a very low level, and she's like, if I'm ever going to advance, I need to go to school and finish up my nursing degree. Unfortunately, she wasn't able to, but for that period of time when she was going to school, I was there with her, and I just remember being like a 5 or 6 year old, like turning on the Bunsen burners, and my mom's like, "Qué coño," like this kid won't stop moving around and jumping around. But I remember like when I went to school, it was kind of normal, like when I started school, because I had gone to college with my mom, or at least some of those courses. So it's like, it's weird that you're saying that. It's reminding me so much of my youth. And it's like, at some point you have to prevail. You know what I mean? Like, no one's going to do it for you. And it's been amazing to see. And I unfortunately didn't get a chance to read this blog post, but Christian's told me about it before. And every time I hear about it, it just reminds me so much of what my mother went through when she was a single mother and we were young. And of course, I was one of those kids, so you can only imagine how bad it was, you know?
No, and I think I've said this to you guys before privately. It's like, when I listen to you, Alexis, specifically, not to like single you out, or like not to like alienate you, Christian, at all, but it's like, there's certain times where I'm listening to Alexis talk, and I'm like, I can only hope that like my children have like the same kind of like sense of humor and stuff about like, aww, you know, the very many things that we have to deal with as like this trio.
I just want to say, even though I do feel alienated, Alexis's humor, yeah, it might be nice on television, but what he says off air, you don't want to hear it, okay?
If your kid ends up anything like me, I want to apologize right now.
Okay? You might be the first human being who has ever said this, okay?
Honestly, we're going to cut the commercial in a second, but I'm going to cry.
Because I think if Alexis's mom heard that, if she had a second chance, she'd be like, look, I just want to do over on this kid. I would like to change a couple things about him.
I need a bigger chancleta, just to make sure he turns out a bit more normal. She's like, because if she heard you, she'd be like, "Da loca." So let's ask a couple questions that we have from our Gully Squad, which obviously is our supporters group. In fact, Valeria Tapia, huge fan of the women's game in Mexico, or just the Mexican game in general. She wants to know, what type of investment would you like to see in El Tri Femenil, which we actually got to see play against the women's national team here at Rebel Arena. What was that? That was 2019?
Right before the World Cup. Yeah. Yes. So, and when we saw them, yeah, they were impressive, but obviously the gap in quality between them and the U.S. Women's National Team is obviously very evident. So, yes, what would you like the investment to be in for El Tri Femenil?
I think the Liga MX Femenil itself is a great starting point. My friends laugh at me about this, but I say, like, maybe not this upcoming World Cup, but the next World Cup, we'll start seeing that investment actually take form. But it's also just giving them the same kind of attention that they give the men's side. One of my really good colleagues for Campeonas MX, his name's Fernando Fala, actually just wrote this article where it's been 200 days since the women's El Tri Femenil had like a game of any kind. Wow. The last games that they played was the, I'm going to mess this up. It's like a cup in some part of like Europe. I'm completely botching the name of the country, but basically it wasn't even like it's not even like a real tournament. Like there's no like stages of it. There's just kind of like people play, you get points, and based off those points is where you place. So like if you really want to get technical, the last real tournament they played was the Olympic qualifiers, where they didn't qualify, you know, because that match that they played was against the U.S. Right. With no signs or, you know, like no actual talks of like what they're going to do for them. You know, the Mexico actually plays, you know, this week. And there's been talks for like the last like couple months. Oh, what are we going to do? When are the men's going to play? You know, all these different like questions, worrying about the development because there is Gold Cup next year, because of the World Cup, because of all the because of all the competition that's happening. So it's that. It's just like not paying attention to it as much, or not seeing the long-term effects of not playing. 200 days is a very long time. And if there's no actual news or any type of sources coming out that games or friendlies that in any type of level are going to be played, it just ruins it even more. It ruins this chance for all these great players and all these different clubs, whether it's in Europe, the Liga MX Femenil, NWSL, actually getting together and, you know, playing united in that same capacity. You know, the CONCACAF Gold Cup for the men's side just had a draw for the tournament for next year yesterday. And there's no type of like CONCACAF or like intercontinental tournament for women's side, which doesn't make any sense to me. And it would just be so like so much better now. You know, if you saw that Mexico US match with Liga MX Femenil players, like that would get so much traction.
Definitely. Yeah. We should address. I think Ali is in the back saying, yes, he's saying less talking and more playing. That's what he's saying.
Spend more money. Yeah. He's saying less talking about spending money and go spend that money on the women's game.
Yeah, we need to actually show some action. He's demanding for
Ali and Ally. You know what I was thinking is for the men's national team in America, lots of dual nationals, right? Lots of Mexican-Americans, lots of Latinos. I don't see a lot of, maybe I haven't counted, right? But I don't see as many Latinos playing in the women's game in America. I was just thinking maybe there's a chance to get some of those dual nationals, right? I don't see that many.
There's been a couple.
It's actually the inverse, not to correct you, Alexis, but it's actually the inverse. Like there's always this talk of like, or do you mean like the U.S. women's national team getting
the U.S.
The dual
women's national team.
Yeah, they'll usually, I think it's also because like the bar is just so high for the U.S. women's national team. It's kind of like when you get like those Argentinian men that have been playing in the Liga MX for so long and they're like, I'm going to convert. And it's like, well, it's because you're not going to have that great of a chance to play for your actual. Yeah. So it's that kind of thing. But it does help. It does help not to make fun of it or anything. It does help, you know, when you do get those dual nationals. Christina Birkenrode, who's like absolutely killing it right now with Rayadas in the Liga MX Femenil, you know, she is a dual national. And all that work that she's doing, I would hope somebody in the federation is realizing, hey, she can be just a huge asset for the national team. So it's for Mexico, it's for the Mexican women's national team, we do see a lot of dual nationals, and it's actually very cool because you do get that closer, just like relatability with them, because they can actually speak the language. And you see that a lot in the Liga MX Femenil, or the Liga MX, sorry, when they do English content, because like the women's side just like can absolutely kill it in both languages. Whereas the yeah. men's side, you don't get that much. You know, or you're like surprised in mixed zones when you're like, wait, he can speak English? Like, yeah, and you yeah. just like run over there, you know?
Yeah. We had another question from Lure McCoy, who's she's also a big NWSL fan, but she asked, after the COVID-19 travel restrictions are lifted, do you think we will see more NWSL and Liga MX Feminine matches like the one with the Dash last year?
I would hope so. When the announcement for the Liga MX now canceled, Liga MX MLS All-Star Game last year, Enrique Bonilla was actually here. And I asked him while he was trying to walk away from me, you know, is there a chance that we see a Liga MX Feminine NWSL clash? And he said, you know, give it time. We don't know if it's going to happen yet. But it's just one of those things that you see that organic community, you know, you guys are definitely into the NWSL, and just like what we see for the Liga MX Femenil, it is, it's all based in community. And when you actually give them access to it and you actually say like, hey, here's a place where you guys can go and consume it, you see how many more people there actually are outside of your circle. So it's a no brainer. Like if they make these friendlies, you know, in LA or wherever there's like a high congestion, just like Mexico games of Mexicans, I wouldn't be surprised that you see them, especially because Liga MX Femenil actually has, a level up with having the men's team association with it. So you automatically yeah. get all those Tigres fans, all those America fans, all those Chivas fans. And as those teams continue winning or they have like really good players, you already have those fans excited to go see them, hopefully.
Yeah, and this year was really the first time I was, you know, able to just watch it because the games are on TUDN, on Telemundo. You can watch them regularly. And before that, it was like, it was like certain websites and you needed yeah. to go to the team site and it was super confusing, but like it's available now. Like
you had to get a special cocktail at the bodega, and if you got that, there was a ticket at the bottom.
All right. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Cooligans. Thank you, Amelia Lopez, for joining us. Everybody, make sure you support and follow Amelia. Amelia is awesome, especially on Twitter. You get not only just the insight to Liga MX, Liga MX Femenil, but she's also hilarious. You got a great TikTok as well, so I highly recommend. But Amelia, is there anything you want to let people know about that you want to plug? Oh, I see somebody's already wants to make a plug as well.
Oh no, your assistant is on camera.
Yeah, just follow the Mexican Soccer Show. Follow FootMex Nation. We have a new Instagram account that I'm running when I'm raising my children, so if you want to go follow that. You know, listen to our football podcast. We do Liga MX Femenil in English, so it's definitely a lot of fun to do that. But yeah, just like keep up with the content, like I say on my own podcast, keep up with the content because it is our football, and we definitely enjoy having it and being able to let you guys get in on the information that we provide.
Me, that's my brand new lightsaber.
All right. Okay. So look at that. Thank you, Amelia. Everybody, make sure you follow at Football Sports, at Soccer Cooligans on all social media channels. And make sure to subscribe to the Football Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the program. So, Ali, that's where you can go watch yourself to be a part of the show. So let us end the show the way we normally do. For Amelia and Ali, my name is Christian Polanco.
And I'm Alexis Guerreros, and still probably the worst behaved person on the show.
And together, what are we?
What are we, Ali?
What are we?
The Cooligans!